The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow, who also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury, for they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. In these readings today, in the first reading and in the gospel reading, we hear about poor widows. Let's start with that first reading from the first book of Kings. It says that Elijah, the prophet, went to Zarephath, and there was the widow there. And he asks her for some water to drink and some food to eat. And she's kind of reluctant at first. She says, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. There is only a handful of flour in my jar and a little oil in my jug. Just now I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and prepare something for myself and my son, but when we have eaten it, we shall die." She's saying, literally, "I have like just enough for one meal left for me and my son. And then we're going to die. Then we don't have anything else. And here you're asking for some of my food." And what does Elijah say? That phrase we often heard from John Paul II. "Do not be afraid." He says, "Go and do as you propose, but first, make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can prepare something for yourself and your son. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour shall not go empty, and the jug of oil shall not run dry.'" And of course, that's what she did. And the reading tells us that she was able to eat for a whole year. Both she and her son as well, the jar of flour did not go empty, and the jug of oil did not run dry, as the Lord had foretold through Elijah. So here we have this instance of this woman having so little left, enough for literally one meal for her and her son. Elijah asks for something to eat, something to drink, had been traveling a long time. And because the widow of Zarephath is willing to serve Elijah, or rather willing to serve the Lord himself in Elijah, "Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you hungry and not attend to your needs? Amen, I say to you, when you did it to the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it to me," or "you did not do it to me." Right? We've heard that recently. So it's not so much that she's helping Elijah. She's helping the Lord in Elijah, who is hungry, who is tired. And what happens? She has more than enough food. The Lord works this miracle because she was generous. There's that saying, the Lord is never outdone in generosity. Now let's look at the gospel reading. The gospel of Mark, the story of the widow's mite, right? Our Lord is observing people put money into the treasury. He sees all these rich people put in large sums. And then he sees a poor widow come forward and put in two small coins. And he says that she put in more than everyone else. Why? Because she gave from her poverty all that she had, her whole livelihood, the gospel tells us. Whereas those other people put in from their surplus. Now, our Lord is certainly not condemning the rich people for being rich. What he's saying is perhaps they didn't give enough. They didn't give until it hurt. They were giving from their surplus. Whereas this poor widow gave until it hurt, literally, her whole livelihood. And I wanted to take this Sunday and these readings as an opportunity to just reflect on how much do we give? You know, how much do we give? And, you know, I had the bulletin brought over because our bookkeeper, Chris Knight, always puts in here, and I think it's helpful for us to see what our offertory looks like. Last week's offertory was a little under $8,000, and it says that came from 20% of the parish, people putting in envelopes, something to kind of identify who that's coming from. So 20% of our parish is giving $8,000, right? Imagine, simple math, what would happen if 100% of our parish were giving something. Something. And that was 91% of the collection, by the way. So those of you who are thinking, oh, well, I just throw in some money, change or whatever, I don't use my envelope. Okay, well, that accounts for 9% of the collection. But 20% of the people are giving $8,000. Father would be ecstatic if we had even double that, 40% of the parish, let alone 100%. But it's an opportunity for us to reflect, I think, on are we giving until it hurts? And because, of course, as a good pastor, as a good leader, I'm certainly never going to ask anyone to do what I myself am not willing to do. When I arrived here and started getting paid as a priest, of course, in the seminary you don't get paid, but when I got here and arrived as a priest and started getting paid, and granted it's not much, but, you know, we don't have many expenses, but I made sure, putting in 10%, just 10% right off the top. And again, you can ask Chris, our bookkeeper. And I don't say that to boast, because I don't think you can boast on doing what you're supposed to do. If I was perhaps giving more than that, perhaps I might have something to boast about. But we need to look at ourselves and say, am I giving until it hurts? Am I giving like the widow in the first reading, like the widow in the gospel reading? Am I being generous? You know, the fact that the church has material needs, and not just the church, but then the poor around us that the church serves. And just a little plug here for Faith Direct. There's this website which you can go to, and there are details in the bulletin. And basically you type in your parish code for Sacred Heart, and you give it your name and your credit card number or your bank number if you want to do a little routing thing that way. And it's completely secure. You're not going to get, you know, your identity is not going to get stolen. And you can tell it how much to give each week. And that way, it will just automatically come out. You don't have to worry about, well, what if I go to a different parish? How is my home parish still going to get my contribution? It's still going to happen. It's one of the things I've run into since I've been down here. There's this phenomenon down here, I think probably because we have so many churches in the area, but we've seemed to lost a sense of parish ownership, that we just kind of go to whatever Mass is most convenient for us. And, you know, I don't want to bash that, because I'm glad that people are going to Mass at all, but there should be a sense of parish ownership that we belong to this parish and we have an obligation, yes, but a responsibility. We have a right. We have a privilege to help this parish. It shouldn't be seen so much as an obligation. We have a privilege to serve Christ in the poor around us. We have a privilege to serve those people who are needy around us, to serve Christ in those people. And this is just one of the ways. Now, you know, often we talk about time, talent, and treasure. It's not just about the money. That is an important part of it. But time and talent as well. You know, are we giving till it hurts? Let's look at the second reading. The letter to the Hebrews, the unknown author here to the letter of the Hebrews, talks about the Mass. Talks about how Christ, as the high priest, did not enter into a sanctuary made by hands, it says. And he says that this is not repeated. He says this is the Mass. The Mass is not a repetition of Calvary, as if the one sacrifice of Calvary were not enough. No, the Mass is a representation of the one sacrifice. That in the Mass, we tap into the one sacrifice of Christ that occurred 2,000 years ago halfway around the world, and we can do that here in La Plata, Maryland in 2012, that we tap into that one sacrifice. And it is a sacrifice. It's the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. It's one of the things that distinguishes us from some of our Protestant brothers and sisters is that we use sacrificial language when it comes to our worship, that the Mass is a sacrifice. It's the sacrifice of Christ on the cross made present to us here today, in this time, in this place. And it's so appropriate, just to tie in the other two readings, it's so appropriate that at the sacrifice of the Mass, when the bread and wine is brought forward, that the collection is brought forward with it. That's very appropriate that it's done that way. You know, back in the day, people would actually bring the bread and the wine to be consecrated. They would have made the bread and not grown the wine, but made the wine and brought it to the Mass. And that was a sacrifice for them, that they would give the best bread that they had. Why? Because it was going to become the flesh of God, flesh of Jesus Christ, and the best wine that they had. And other people who didn't have bread and wine would bring what they did have and lay it at the altar to be distributed to the poor, be it money, be it food, be it clothing, whatever. That there was this notion that the sacrifice of the Mass was an opportunity for us to bring to God our very best. And let me just say something about our giving. It's kind of insulting to God when you think about it if we don't give God our best. It's kind of insulting to God. You hear in the Old Testament how often God would get ticked off at people when they would sacrifice, you know, like the blind animal that no one wanted anyways. Oh, well, that one's blind. Let's sacrifice that. Let's offer that one up and sacrifice. No, God demanded the best animal, the unblemished, the best animal. That was the one that was to be sacrificed. Why? Because that's when it hurt. It hurt to give away your very best. It didn't hurt to give away what you didn't want in the first place or what you didn't really need. It was insulting to God when they would give less than the very best. It was insulting to God. And we can ask ourselves, am I insulting God? And maybe I'm not even aware of it, but now I am. Am I insulting God by giving him less than my very best? You know, some people say, oh, my grandfather put in a $5 bill every week at church, and if it was good enough for him, well, damn it, it's good enough for me. Well, no. Something called inflation. It's not how it works. And it's a good opportunity for us, I think, to ask ourselves, am I insulting God with the little bit that I put in? Am I giving God my very best? Am I giving him till it hurts? And you know what? If that is only 50 cents, then God bless you, put in 50 cents. Or am I like those rich people who put in from their surplus? It doesn't really hurt. It's an opportunity for us to ask ourselves, what am I giving to the Lord in sacrifice? I know that he is never outdone in generosity. And the Mass, how appropriate that we bring our sacrifices, that we bring our sacrifices to the Mass, symbolically brought forward in the form of bread and wine and in our collection money, but that we bring this to the foot of the altar and we ask that God take this and that he transform it. And that's, of course, exactly what he does with the bread and wine. He takes the bread and wine, he transforms it into his own flesh and blood, and he gives it back to us as a blessing. That's why we give. We give as a sacrifice because we know that God is going to bless so many other people through us, and that he's going to bless us for it as well. So, brothers and sisters, just today an opportunity for us to look and ask ourselves, am I giving from my surplus and perhaps insulting God in doing so? Or am I giving until it hurts? Am I giving from my livelihood? Am I giving God my very best? And especially in the sacrifice of the Mass. And if not, what am I going to do to fix it? Maybe it means logging on to Faith Direct today and doing it that way. Maybe it means just being more diligent about putting my envelope in the basket. But this is an opportunity for us today to ask ourselves, am I giving God my very best?